Chapter 2. Climbing the Complexity Ladder. The genetic revolution has provided us with new ways of understanding ourselves that our ancestors could hardly have imagined. Trying to explain to someone 20,000 years ago that humans are made of code would have been far beyond what their life experiences had prepared them to absorb. But despite our great and often well-founded faith in science, we would be well advised to maintain the same humble appreciation of the world beyond our grasp as animated our forebears. Even our single gene mutation diseases, the clearest and simplest prospective targets for human genetic engineering, should encourage our humility. Reliably linking single gene mutations to specific genetic diseases represents decades of hard-won progress. But this story is more complicated than it first seems. Because many of the genes linked to particular genetic diseases have been found in people showing symptoms of those diseases, researchers don't know as much as they should about other types of people who might carry similar genetic mutations but who don't get the particular diseases for one reason or another, perhaps because they have some other gene or genes protecting them. That's why it's very likely that the more people, all types of people, not just those showing symptoms of particular diseases, we sequence, the more we will come to recognize the complexity of even seemingly simple genetics. We will learn that we are all genetic mutants in one way or another, carrying mutations that might cause diseases in some, but not others. Our complex and interactive genetics exist within the even greater complexity of our multiple biological systems, the epigenome, transcriptome, proteome, metabolome, microbiome, and virome among them. Our composite individual biology is then embedded within the broader context of our environment. That's why, after an early stage of euphoria a decade or two ago, many scientists have more recently become more cautious about our time frame for understanding our genetics and the other interacting systems within and around us. We've made enormous advances with inexpensive, fast, and accurate genome sequencing, but our ability to collect data has not yet been matched by an equal ability to understand the data we are collecting. We've made the mistake of equating the gathering of information, Boston University bioengineer James Collins told Nature, with a corresponding increase in insight and understanding. As our species always has, however, we balance this justifiable humility about technology with our inherent Promethean hubris, and for good reason. Each of the complex biological systems within us will be increasingly decodable, our genes foremost among them. Because tackling the human genome in one swoop is an impossible task, geneticists are working their way up the complexity ladder by trying to understand the biological systems of simpler and faster breeding model organisms like yeast, fruit flies, roundworms, frogs, mice, and zebrafish, all with many gene and biological systems similar to ours. Because all living beings share a common ancestor, the genetics of these creatures are more or less like that of humans, depending on when we split from them. Humans and fruit flies, for example, share a common ancestor from around 700 million years ago. We split with mice, our far closer relatives, a mere 80 million years ago, which explains why both of our species love cheese. Just kidding. For this reason, we share 60% of our DNA with fruit flies, but 92% of our DNA with mice. Unfortunately for them, these relatives of ours have taken the brunt of our genetics research. In the early days, they were bombarded with harmful radiation to mutate their genes and see how various genetic changes led to particular physical outcomes. Today, a wide range of genetic tools are used to knock out genes in model organisms, and laboratories around the world genetically engineer mice and other animals to help study various diseases or traits. Slowly but consistently, these processes are moving us toward better understanding how complex biological systems like ours function. For years, researchers like Eric Davidson, a biologist at the California Institute of Technology, have been working to show how the complex biological systems of model organisms can be increasingly understood. Davidson systematically knocked out multiple proteins controlling the expression of genes in sea urchins and monitored how each change altered the other proteins and gene expression. With this information, he and his team are painstakingly developing a dynamic map of how many different proteins and genes interact in an effort to draw basic principles for the overall biological system of the sea urchins. There is still a lot of work to be done, but Davidson describes his work as a proof of principle that you can understand everything about the system that you want to understand if you get hold of its moving parts. New genetic tools make it possible to turn on and off multiple genes, but really understanding how genes contribute to complex human traits requires a much more sophisticated process of integration. Genome-wide association studies, or GWAS, are starting to do just that. Even though all humans are a great deal more genetically alike than not, our relatively small number of genetic differences account for most of our diversity and diseases, and so are pretty important. As opposed to the old days of looking for these types of single gene mutations among groups of people with the same genetic disease, the GWAS process pours through hundreds, thousands, or even millions of known genetic variations to find differences and patterns that can match with different outcomes. Once genes are sequenced, the order of the G, A, T, and C bases is translated into a digital file. The GWAS involves a computer algorithm scanning the genomes of large groups of people, looking for genetic variations associated with specific genetic diseases or traits. Each GWAS can look for thousands of these variations, which scientists call single nucleotide polymorphisms, or SNPs. The more relevant mutations that are found, the more accurate future studies will become. To better understand how GWAS and other processes for making sense of immense amounts of genetic data work, imagine trying to comprehend a forest. Imagine that other people have been traveling through the maze of trees and branches for years and have identified thousands of the most significant places in the forest where some of the most important things are happening, perhaps the waterfalls, animal feeding grounds, special plants, etc. We know that these types of sites are significant based on our experience traveling through many other forests. One way to better understand this forest would be to visit each of these high-impact sites and see what's going on. A GWAS does the same within the vast expanse of the genome by seeing what specific genetic markers, ones already flagged as relevant to what we may be looking for, are doing. Beyond GWAS, newer next-generation sequencing, NGS, tools are making it possible for researchers to sequence all of the protein coding genes and then all of the genes in a given genome. Looking at the protein coding genes is like finding a trail that links the most important sites in your forest and allows you to understand how all of the different points along the trail connect to and interact with one another. Sequencing the whole genome is like looking at the entire forest, a bigger and more complicated job, but one that ultimately helps us understand the forest far better than just looking at the most important places. Focusing on such a huge data set as the entire forest or the entire genome is a far more daunting analytical task. It's easier for us to get a sense of a few waterfalls and plants, or of a few target genes, than to understand the broader and more complicated ecosystem of the forest or the genome as a whole. But if we could understand these broader ecosystems, we'd know a great deal more about the forest, and, in the case of the human genome, ourselves. The more we move from looking at how a single genetic mutation causes a disease or trait to how a complex pattern of genes and other systems creates a certain outcome, the less possible it becomes to establish causality using our limited human brains alone. That's why the intersection between the genetics and biotechnology revolutions on the one hand and the artificial intelligence, AI, and big data analytics revolutions on the other are so critical to our story. The ancient Chinese game of Go, considered by many the world's most complicated board game, has long played a central role in China's culture and strategic thinking. Invented more than 2,500 years ago, the Go board is made up of 361 squares onto which one player places black stones and the other white. Moving in turn, each player tries to encircle the other player's stones to take them off the board. Whoever controls the most territory when the game ends is the winner. To put the complexity of Go into perspective, the average chess move after the first two moves has around 400 options. The average move in Go has around 130,000 options. Even after IBM's Deep Blue computer defeated chess grand champion Garry Kasparov in 1996, most observers believed it would be many decades before a computer could defeat the world Go champions because Go's mathematical complexity rendered Deep Blue's computational approach useless. But when Google DeepMind's AlphaGo program deployed advanced machine learning capabilities to trounce the Korean and Chinese Go world champions in a series of high-profile competitions in 2016 and 2017, the world took notice. The AlphaGo program learned how to play Go in part by analyzing hundreds of thousands of digitally recorded human Go matches. In later 2017, DeepMind for Google introduced a new program, AlphaGo Zero, which did not need to study any human games. Instead, the programmers provided the algorithm with the basic rules of Go and instructed it to play against itself to learn the best strategies. 3 days later, AlphaGo Zero defeated the original AlphaGo program that had bested the leading grandmasters. AlphaGo Zero can crush any human Go player because it recognizes layers of patterns in a massive field of data far beyond what any human could hope to achieve on his or her own. The rapid advance of AI has frightened many people, technology entrepreneur Elon Musk and the late Stephen Hawking among them, who are concerned that AI will supplant and someday potentially harm humans. These types of fears are theoretical at our current stage of technological development, but the idea of using AI to begin unlocking the secrets of our biology is not. Today, it is quite clear that AI technology is not supplanting us, it is enhancing us. Thousands of books have been written about how the information and computing revolutions are transforming the way we store and process information. In the 1880s, punch cards were a major innovation for processing what seemed then like large amounts of data. The magnetic tape was first used in the 1920s to store information and made possible the machines developed to crack Nazi and Japanese secret codes and win the Second World War. Soon after, Hungarian-American genius John von Neumann laid the foundations of modern computing that underpinned the development of the mainframe, personal computers, and the eventual Internet revolution. Now, the connected big data and AI revolutions are allowing us to make increasingly more sense of the growing mountains of data being generated inside and around us. It is no coincidence that the first word in big data analytics is big. More data has been generated in the past 2 years than in the entirety of human history beforehand, allowing us to do ever bigger things in a forever accelerating process. This data analytics revolution is massively expanding the problem-solving capacity of our species. When Thomas Edison was inventing the phonograph, light bulb, electrical grid, motion picture camera, and much else in Menlo Park, New Jersey, and he faced a challenge he could not figure out himself, he could speak with a relatively small number of people, perhaps in the hundreds, or read a limited number of books and papers. Today, however, most of our species is networked through the Internet. We can glide past problems others have already solved and focus on the new challenges we ourselves are best able to address. When brilliant people like Edison died, much of their knowledge went with them to the grave. Today, far more of our information and knowledge is captured in our accessible digital records, and the data processing and knowledge amassing tools we are developing will live in perpetuity. Human death remains an individual and familial tragedy, and just generally sucks, but it has far less impact on the advance of our collective knowledge and our species more generally than it used to. Already today, most of us are in many ways smarter with our smartphones than even great thinkers of the past. We are functionally merging with our breathtaking and fast-improving tools and are, in many significant ways, better off for it. The big data and machine learning revolutions are helping us figure out all sorts of systems, from urban planning to autonomous vehicles to space travel, but among their most significant impacts will be on our understanding of and ability to manipulate biology. As difficult as Go dominance is, recognizing the patterns of human biology are far more complex. DeepMind's AlphaZero algorithm, a more general version of AlphaGo Zero, isn't just a champion at Go. It also bested leading human champions and inferior algorithms in chess and the complex Japanese strategy game of shogi. The rules of these games fed to AlphaZero are simple and straightforward. The rules of our biology could well someday be known to us, but today we humans, even working with our AI tools, struggle to figure them out. To get there, cutting-edge scientists are deploying big data analytical and deep learning tools to help make more sense of the human genome. Deep learning software is being used not just to diagnose medical images of breast and other cancers more accurately than human radiologists, but also to synthesize patients' genomic information and electronic medical records to begin diagnosing and even predicting diseases. Companies around the world are racing to accelerate this process. The innovative Canadian company Deep Genomics, for example, is bringing together AI and genomics to uncover patterns in how diseases work because, in its words, the future of medicine will rely on artificial intelligence because biology is too complex for humans to understand. Google and a Chinese company, Wuxi NextCode, recently released highly sophisticated cloud-based AI systems designed to help make sense of the massive amounts of data coming from genetic sequencing. Boston-based Biogen is looking actively at how quantum computing might supercharge the ability to find meaningful patterns from these massive data sets. The intersection of AI and genomics will become more powerful as deep learning techniques become more sophisticated, more and larger data sets of sequenced genomes become available, and our ability to decipher more of the underlying principles of our system's biology grows. As the genomic dataset expands, scientists will use AI tools to better understand how complex genetic patterns can lead to specific outcomes. The real benefit comes from not only sequencing very large numbers of people, but also from comparing their genotypes, their genetic makeup, to their phenotypes, how these genes are expressed over the course of their lives. The more sequenced genomes can be matched with detailed life records shared in a common database, the better able we will be to figure out what our genes and other biological systems are doing. The world's most valuable resource, The Economist wrote in 2017, is no longer oil, but data. In the case of genomics, it is high-quality data, matching people's biology with the most specific information possible about many other aspects of their lives. Bringing together these vast sets of genetic data and life records will require relatively uniform electronic health and life records to be analyzed by AI algorithms. Today's diversity of health, medical, and life records systems make the sharing of large pools of genomic data more difficult than it needs to be. In an ideal world, everyone would have their full genome sequenced and all of their personal and medical data recorded accurately in a standardized electronic medical record shareable with researchers in an open network. In the real world, however, the idea of our most intimate data being made available to people we don't know in a searchable database frightens many of us, for good reason. But different researchers, companies, and governments around the world are exploring different approaches to balancing our collective need for big data pools and our individual desire for data privacy. Iceland is one of the world's most genetically homogeneous societies. Settled by a small number of common ancestors in the 9th century, with relatively few immigrants arriving since, and possessing detailed genealogical, birth, death, and health records going back centuries, the country is an ideal laboratory for genetic research. In 1996, Icelandic neurologist Kari Stefansson co-founded Decode Genetics, a company with the ambitious goal of mining the gene pool of Icelanders to better understand and find cures for a range of diseases. To get the data they needed, Decode convinced Iceland's parliament to grant the company access to national health records and convinced Icelanders, many of whom became company shareholders, to donate their blood to the company. When Swiss pharmaceutical giant Hoffmann La Roche bought Decode for $200 million in 1998, many Icelanders felt betrayed. An ensuing lawsuit denied Decode access to the national health record system and required each individual to consent to their personal records being shared. But after Decode and Hoffmann La Roche offered individual Icelanders free access to any drugs developed in the collaboration, many Icelanders signed back up. Today, Decode holds 100,000 blood samples and has used its genetic and data pool to discover genes linked to various diseases and even came up with novel treatment for heart attacks. Another pharmaceutical giant, AstraZeneca, announced in early 2018 that it planned to sequence 500,000 genomes from its own clinical trials by 2026. Governments are also very much involved in efforts to amass large pools of genetic data. Britain's 100,000 Genomes Project of Genomic England, launched with great fanfare by Prime Minister David Cameron in 2012, is sequencing patients in the country's National Health Service, NHS, with rare diseases and cancer, as well as their families, with the goal of matching genetic information with health records to better understand and advance the treatment of genetic disease, the 100,000 Genomes Project sought to kickstart the development of a UK genomic industry. Raising the ante, the NHS Genomic Medicine Service announced in October 2018 that all adults with certain cancers and rare diseases would be offered whole genome sequencing with the goal of sequencing 5 million Britons over the coming 5 years. Americans might think the absence of a unified national health system makes this kind of government-led effort more difficult in the United States. But the recently launched U.S. plan is also ambitious. After years of delays, in spring 2018, the U.S. National Institutes of Health began recruiting a targeted 1 million Americans from all socioeconomic, ethnic, and racial groups to submit their sequenced genomes, health records, regular blood samples, and other personal information to the All of Us Research Program. Congress has authorized a $1.45 billion 10-year budget for this program, and enrollment sites are being set up across the United States. If privacy concerns and bureaucratic inertia can be addressed, this initiative could do a lot to push genetic research forward. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs also launched its own biobank, the 1 million Veterans Program, which plans to sequence 1 million veterans by 2025 to match their genotypes and health and service records. Certain private sector models are also emerging that try to balance the societal interest of accessible big data pools of genetic information with the interest of many individuals to maintain some level of control over their genetic data. Luna DNA, a young San Diego-based company created by Illumina alumni, is seeking to bring the many small and disparate genetic data sets held by multiple companies and clinics together into a searchable collective by rewarding the individuals willing to share their genetic information with cryptocurrency. This type of approach makes particular sense because people's sequenced genomes, just like their internet search history, will soon have a very significant commercial value whose benefits deserve to be shared with consumers. The Boston-based Personal Genome Project is trying to build an open-source coalition of national genetic data pools. Perhaps not surprisingly, China has embarked on the most aggressive path for building its big data genetic pool on an industrial scale. Its recently announced $9 billion 15-year investment to improve national leadership in precision medicine, for example, dwarfs similar initiatives around the world. China's National Development and Reform's 13th five-year plan for biotech industry development aims to sequence at least 50% of all newborns, including pre-pregnancy, prenatal, and newborn testing, in China by 2020, and support hundreds of separate projects to sequence genomes and gather clinical data in partnership with local governments and private companies. China is also moving aggressively toward establishing a single shareable format for all electronic health records across the country, and to ensure that privacy protections do not impede access to this data by researchers, companies, and the government. As a result of all of these types of efforts around the world, it is estimated that up to 2 billion human genomes might be sequenced within the coming decade. Making sense of this massive amount of data, correlating it to electronic health and life records, and integrating it with large datasets of other human biological systems will require significantly more computing power than we have today, but with the increase in supercomputing capacity around the world, there is little doubt we'll eventually get there. Bringing together so much genetic and personal information in shareable digital databases would be an almost impossible task if each person was making an individual decision about whether to have his or her genome sequenced or not. Instead, most everyone who is born through IVF and embryo selection or visits a doctor's office or hospital at any point in their life will be sequenced as standard procedure, the way people routinely get their pulse tested today. In our collective shift from our system of generalized medicine to the new world of personalized, aka precision medicine. Our current medical world is based largely on averages. Not every drug, for example, works for every person, but if it works for even a moderate percentage of people, regulators will often approve it. If you show up in a standard doctor's office with a condition that could be treated with a drug, generally there's a very simple way you find out if it works: by trying it. If you take the common blood thinner warfarin and it helps, that proves it is right for your biology. If you are among the 1 in 100 people for whom warfarin causes internal bleeding and possibly death, you learn the opposite the hard way. Generalized medicine was our only way to do things when our understanding of how each individual human being works was low. In the coming world of personalized medicine, this approach will seem the equivalent of leeches. Instead of just seeing a doctor, you will see a doctor paired with an AI agent. Your treatment for ailments from headaches to cancers will be chosen based on how well they work for a person like you. Every person's individual biology, including your gender and age, the status of your microbiome, your metabolic indicators, and your genes, will be the foundation of your medical record and care. Doctors have always recognized that every patient is unique, U.S. President Barack Obama said in his 2015 State of the Union address, and doctors have always tried to tailor their treatments as best they can to individuals. You can match a blood transfusion to a blood type. That was an important discovery. What if matching a cancer cure to our genetic code was just as easy, just as standard? What if figuring out the right dose of medicine was as simple as taking our temperature? Soon after, the Obama administration announced its Precision Medicine Initiative, designed to enable a new era of medicine through research, technology, and policies that empower patients, researchers, and providers to work together toward development of individualized care. Progress toward this goal is being measured one initiative at a time. In 2018, Geisinger Health System, based in Danville, Pennsylvania, announced it was offering free genome sequencing to all patients as part of standard preventative care. Geisinger's preliminary research found actionable findings in 3.5% of patients. For the patients, finding potential future dangers can be useful and potentially life-saving. For the health system, sequencing patients potentially enables better care and could even lead to higher revenue from additional services provided in the short term and could provide savings down the line from preventing more serious conditions. On a societal level, identifying genetic abnormalities early has the potential to make the overall population healthier and reduce the downstream costs of care. Although the inefficiencies of healthcare systems, the lack of genetics expertise among primary care doctors, and the generally conservative medical cultures around the world could slow the transition, millions, then billions of people around the world will eventually have their genomes sequenced as part of the shift toward personalized medicine. Through this process, more and more of our species' genetic, life, and health data will be placed in electronic records, allowing the industrial-scale analysis of our complex biologies. As the number of people sequenced increases, the cost of sequencing continues to drop, and our computational power to do the necessary big data analytics climbs, our understanding of complex genetic patterns will grow. Beyond better understanding the impact of an increasing number of single gene mutations, we will begin to grasp more complex genetic patterns that can lead to polygenic or multiple gene conditions like coronary heart disease, diabetes, and hypertension. This process is already well underway. Researchers at the Broad Institute are building an algorithm and website designed to give people risk scores that assess their genetic predisposition to a range of complex diseases, including coronary artery disease, atrial fibrillation, type 2 diabetes, inflammatory bowel disease, and breast cancer. For a number of common diseases, according to its letter in Nature Genetics in August 2018, polygenic risk scores can now identify a substantially larger fraction of the population than is found by rare monogenic mutations at comparable or greater disease risk. Genomic Prediction, a startup company founded in 2017 by Stephen Su, uses these kinds of advanced computer modeling techniques to score percentage risks of a given pre-implanted embryo developing a range of complex genetic disorders, including intellectual disabilities and traits. The company is an early example of the future of expanded PGT. This type of polygenetic scoring, based on statistical probabilities, will be the bridge connecting today's high confidence of predicting many single gene mutation disorders and our coming ability to predict far more complex disorders influenced by the minimal contribution of many hundreds or thousands of genes. But there is no possibility that preventing or treating complex genetic disorders will be the end point of our genetic journey. It will, in fact, only be the beginning. Pairing assisted reproduction technologies with big data analytics, machine learning, and AI will increasingly transform not just how we make babies, but the nature of the babies we make. In seeking to unlock the complex genetics of diseases, we will need to understand the bodily systems they impact. To grasp the genetics of cognitive decline, for example, we'll need to understand the genetics of intelligence. To assess the genetics of premature aging, we'll need to understand the broader genetic mechanisms of aging itself. To understand shortness, we'll need to comprehend the biology of height. Seeking to understand genetic abnormalities and climbing the ladder of better understanding of our genetic complexity will, in other words, force us to understand the genetics of being. And beginning to understand the genetic foundations of our most human characteristics will force us to recognize that the genetics revolution is about much more than our health care. It is about who and what we are today and in the future. Because, in a series of incremental steps, it will alter our evolutionary trajectory as a species.